This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Had to let the music bed breathe a little bit because I had to grab the one remote and turn on TNT because Steven quoted my tweet and said, as long as the Celtics keep beating the Cavs, we should have some fun. This game's a 5-point game with 4:47 to go on the very green court in Boston. Steven, are you a Celtics fan?
I sure am, yeah. My dad grew up in New England, so he kind of indoctrinated me and all my siblings. People get pretty surprised. I am, you know, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, all that stuff. Didn't quite get into hockey, but I'll root for the Bruins when they're in the playoffs.
What do you make of this court?
Hate it. hate the jerseys that they came up with, too. I mean, like, the parquet is classic in Boston.
Yep.
So I don't know why they need to screw this up with a bunch of green stuff.
Well, let's get into some pit as Derek White drains a three from the top of the key. All right, so Pitt football, 7-3 now, and the Clemson game, a sour taste in the mouths of Pitt fans, I would say. As they kind of turn the page here and flip the script to Louisville and Boston College to close out the year, you know, what can Pitt kind of do to, you know, end this season on a high note and kind of get to, you know, they're obviously bowl bound and the quality of the bowl game might have dipped a little bit, but you know, based off of the last 3 weeks, what do you think Pitt has to kind of do to, you know, try and right the ship? Because it doesn't get easy. There's two road games against two pretty good teams to end the year.
Right. If there's anything positive to take away from that Clemson game, it's that, you know, you're down, what, two or three starting offensive linemen, multiple starting offensive linemen. You eventually lost Lyndon Cooper in the fourth quarter. You had a backup quarterback in Nate Yarnell in there, and you committed 13 penalties and only lost on a 50-yard touchdown run inside of 2 minutes. You need a chance to maybe win the game on your last possession. So if I'm Pitt and I'm thinking about what do I need to do to finish the year strong, it's not beat myself. Part of that is because, you know, part of the way that they lost that game is tied to the personnel changes that they've had and the injuries that they've suffered. But, you know, you eliminate, you know, maybe even only one or two of those procedural penalties that they got down on the goal line. You know, on 3rd and 1, Desmond Reed tries to leap in for a touchdown. He's just a little bit short. Pitt ends up kicking a field goal there, but that was late in the fourth quarter. You know, that's 3 points instead of 7 in a game that you lose by 4. So they had every opportunity to win that game and kind of gave it away themselves, gave away a top 25 upset. So it cuts both ways. You fumbled an opportunity for a big win, but at the same time, you were right there with a team that's been the class of the ACC and might be back in the outskirts of an at-large playoff conversation, maybe still has a chance to make the ACC championship game. So I still think that's plenty encouraging. And I know some fans might have readjusted their expectations after Pitt won 7 in a row to start the season, but they still only won 3 games last year, right? Like, this is an improvement. And you think about all the guys that are eligible to return next year. There's a lot to look forward to. And a lot of the season. And, you know, a successful, strong finish to the year is still in Pitt's hands, in my opinion.
Nate Yornell obviously had a pretty decent day, 350 yards through the air. Is Eli Holstein in a spot to come back this week? What's the latest there?
Yeah, it sounds like he's improving. You know, it's still kind of unknown. He's not been cleared just yet, but it sounds like things are getting better. I mean, seems a little bit more of an open question now after Nate did play so well against Clemson that, you know, I assume Eli would be the starter if he is cleared. But, again, Pitt will have confidence either way if Nate Yornell is the guy to go. You know, head injuries can be kind of weird, which is what we assume Eli Holstein has had. It's not necessarily something that the Pitt program will state to you, but, you know, we saw him take a hit to the head and then leave the game against Virginia, so you can kind of do the math there. But this is also the second time that Holstein has had to leave the game early because of a hit to the head. It happened against Syracuse as well. He's eventually able to return, but when those things start to add up, you know, the recovery process can be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, Holstein did dress last week against Virginia or against Clemson. He was, you know, said to be a game time decision. So I think the assumption there is that, you know, if he was able to dress, if he, you know, came right up to game time before he was officially ruled out, then, you know, that's an encouraging sign with another week of rest and an opportunity to practice during the week.
Stephen Thompson on the Fan Hotline with us. He covers Pitt Athletics for the Post-Gazette. Stephen, the rush offense for Pitt, 33 carries for 88 yards. It's kind of dipped in the last couple of weeks. What's attributed to that? And, you know, how can maybe the run offense get back to, you know, what we saw earlier in the year with Desmond Reed being one of the more dynamic players, not just on Pitt, but in college football?
Yeah, I mean, some of this is a little bit natural, the way that they're limited on the offensive line. I mean, there's only so much you can expect against a team like Clemson with that kind of defensive front for, you know, a bunch of backups being mixed in and a backup quarterback that maybe, you know, I don't know how much Clemson respected the pass in that game, even though Yarnell ended up having a good game. So I think part of this is you just need the offensive line to gel a little bit. You need some of these guys who haven't had a ton of starts and maybe don't have a ton of experience, especially with one another, to gel a little bit. You hope another week of practice together, some more game experience will help with that. But, you know, you also need a quarterback who can, you know, give you a number in the run game like Holstein did earlier in the year. That certainly helped as well. And he has maybe the bigger arm, the better deep ball potential as opposed to Nate Yornell. So, you know, if Eli Holstein's able to go this week, I think he would add a level of playmaking and, again, adding a number in the run game that's been really helpful for Pitt at a lot of times this year. So, you know, those are a couple ways they can do it. But at a certain point, you just need to kind of get healthy again. You need this offense to be whole before you start to talk about, you know, what it can be at its best.
As we flip the script here, we'll get into the basketball team in a moment. But Pitt, a road matchup, actually two road matchups to close out the year. The first one on Saturday at 4 o'clock at Louisville. And Louisville's got a seasoned quarterback in Tyler Shuck. What other challenges do the Cardinals present? What does Pitt have to do to kind of get back into the swing of things, get back into the win column for the first time in almost a month?
Well, they've got some really talented receivers as well. You know, Brooks is one of those guys. And then the other name escapes me, but they're really explosive in the pass game. So they've got two talented receivers there that can really light up. Chris Bell is the other guy, the other receiver that you need to look out for. Just found his name. You also got to keep an eye on Isaac Brown, who entered this week questionable, according to Jeff Brohm. He's probably the favorite to win ACC Rookie of the Year. So he's a big name that you got to watch as well, really explosive as well. I mean, this Louisville team loves the big plays. So Brown, Brooks, and Bell are the ones that you, the killer bees, I guess, that you got to look out for on offense. And on defense, the defensive end, Gillette, is another big-time playmaker, a lot of sacks, a lot of tackles for loss. That's a name that you want to watch on the defensive side of the ball. And with Pitt kind of having the turnover and the shuffling that it's had on the offensive line, he could be in line for a big day. And whoever's at quarterback is going to have to know where he is on every play. And Kate Bell's also going to have to know where he is on every play to try and send some help, some tight end chips, some running back help maybe, in pass protection when Gillette's on the field.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's flip the script now. Stephen Thompson with us of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Covers Pitt Athletics. We'll talk a little bit more about a positive and the Pitt basketball team. A dominating win last night over VMI, 93-48, a bunch of guys in double figures. They look good, and I know, you know, it's, some people might roll their eyes and say that, you know, with a win against a team like VMI, but Pitt now up to 16th in KenPom, and it gets tougher as the schedule moves along here with LSU and the Greenbrier tip-off coming up this weekend. Just talk to me a little bit about, you know, what you saw last night, what you liked, and how maybe Pitt stacks up against a team like LSU or UCF or Wisconsin, whoever they see in the Greenbrier.
Yeah, so I see a Pitt team that has really locked in on the defensive end. You know, when you look at the way that Jeff Capel's teams have improved from, quite frankly, a miserable start through those first 4 years where they didn't win many games and weren't particularly competitive in many of them either. You look at the offense and how they've been able to shoot the ball so much better over the past, going into this year, before this year, 2 years. And that's kind of led to the back-to-back 21 seasons. But this year they have added, some length and some veteran leadership that I think has really made their defense a lot better. But, you know, similar to those last two teams that did win 20 or more games and one that went to the NCAA tournament, this is a Pitt team that's built around its guards. They don't turn the ball over. They're pretty efficient offensively, even if they don't play at a particularly fast pace. And I think they're multiple as well. So while they're built around their guards, you've got a guy like Cam Corn who's given you, you know, double-figure scoring in just about every game this year. I think every game this year. But then, you know, Guillermo Diaz-Graham has been a nice scoring punch and diversified his game a little bit. You got Amza Lalala coming off the bench, who's, adds a little bit of scoring as well. Brandon Cummings, as a freshman, has added some stuff defensively and energy-wise. It's been great. Zach Austin has been better shooting the ball this year. So there have been some improvements from the returners, but you've still got a team that's built around three veteran guards that – our offensive engines that take pride on defense, can play both ways. So it's a Pitt team that I think is leaning on his experience as well. It's when you look at it, one of the more experienced teams in all of Division I, and looking at KenPom right now, so they're top 30 in average Division I experience, which I think is huge, and that contributes to some of the stuff like the way that they are able to prevent turnovers on offense, create turnovers on defense, take the right shots, and play efficient offense in the way that Jeff Capel really wants them to.
So they're 5-0, getting some votes in both the coaches' poll and in the latest AP poll, but those wins against, you know, Radford, Murray State, Gardner-Webb, West Virginia, and then VMI. That first five games to the next five games, very different because you've got LSU, either UCF or Wisconsin, then at Ohio State, at Mississippi State, and then a conference matchup with Virginia Tech. So it's five straight from here against Power 5 opponents. The question I ask is, how much more are we going to find out about this Pitt basketball team in the next five games?
Well, a whole heck of a lot. LSU and Virginia Tech, I think those are teams that Pitt should beat. Kind of depends on who they draw in the Greenbrier tournament between Wisconsin or UCF. Wisconsin seems like a pretty good team, even though they struggled against, I believe it was Texas Rio Grande Valley last night, just had to squeak out a win, but they had a huge win against Arizona last week. So you're going to learn a lot about Pitt, especially because Ohio State and Mississippi State seem like they're teams that are kind of on the fringes of the top 25. Wisconsin is firmly in there. But, you know, Pitt's going to be able to, finally get tested by a team that has comparable size and talent. I think West Virginia had some talent, but the size disadvantage, I think, was just way too much for them to overcome. And that's not really going to be the case over these next five games. You're going to face some real live Division I athletes and some real live Division I size. So I don't expect Pitt to go undefeated during the stretch. If they do, then we can start dreaming a lot bigger. But how they perform against Ohio State and Mississippi State and then Wisconsin, if they're able to draw them, I think that's going to tell you how high their ceiling is. Like I said, LSU and Virginia Tech probably should be wins. I think the same thing about UCF if they're able to get them. But that trio, Ohio State, Mississippi State, Wisconsin, they go 2-1 in that stretch, or much less 3-0. And this Pitt team could maybe, win something really serious and compete in the ACC and make a run in the tournament. I think also the other thing is Jeff Capel deserves some credit for recognizing how his non-conference schedule was used against the Panthers last year in NCAA tournament conversations, and he made sure that that's not going to happen again. He got them into a multi-team event that will have some really quality teams, but also set up that Ohio State game, which will be really big on the road, a quad one opportunity, and look at that ACC-SEC challenge game on the road against Mississippi State. It's going to be tough, but if Pitt can keep their head above water, have a winning record, or maybe even go 4-1, we can start thinking about this Pitt team as a really good team.
He is Stephen Thompson. Check him out covering Pitt in the Post-Gazette. Stephen, what does your weekend look like? Are you hitting Greenbrier, then Louisville, or what's the plan?
No, so luckily I have a very good beat partner, Chris Carter, who's going to be down at the Greenbrier this weekend. I'll be following along on TV, having a little bit of analysis for you in the Post-Gazette. While I'm in Louisville, I'll be doing that on Friday night. Then I'll have Louisville Pitt football on Saturday, and then I hop a 6 a.m. flight back to Pittsburgh so that I can be seated for either a 2:30 or 5 o'clock tip off between either Pitt or UCF on Sunday in the end of the Greenbrier tournament. And I'll be doing kind of a similar thing, following along remotely, but having some analysis for you from that game as well.
Well, you guys do a fantastic job. Keep it up. Thanks for joining me again. We'll do it again soon. Stephen, have a great night, and I think your Celtics might pull one out here. So enjoy the rest of the evening, man.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
You got it. There he goes, Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. What a weekend. 6 a.m. flight back to Pittsburgh and then maybe a drive down to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. The UCF matchup would be intriguing. We can talk a little bit about that next because Dior Johnson, remember him? He plays for UCF now. So that would be an interesting matchup if UCF were to beat Wisconsin or if Pitt were to fall to LSU and UCF were to lose. Regardless, there's a chance that Pitt might be going up against a former player in Dior Johnson who didn't play but was a highly touted recruit that Jeff Capel was able to bring to Pittsburgh. All right, 412-928-9370. That is the number. It's also the number of the Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your phone calls, all that stuff coming up next. We'll talk more Pitt. We'll talk more Steelers throughout the rest of the show. We're on until 10:35 tonight. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.